Good morning. Welcome to Melville. It is good to be together to worship God this morning on this Pentecost Sunday. Let's take a few moments to prepare our hearts and minds for worship. The day of Pentecost is here. We gather as God's children in this place. We are transformed into God's family by God's Spirit joining with ours. Come, Spirit of adoption, and open our hearts to our sisters and brothers. Come, Holy Spirit. Come, Spirit of peace, and calm our trembling hearts. Come, Holy Spirit. Come, breath of God, and overturn our conventional lives. Come, Holy Spirit. Let us pray. Holy One, for all the ways you speak to us, in rushing wind, dancing flames, words we understand, and all that transcends language, we give you thanks. As we worship you this day, we pray that you would ignite within us a fiery passion for your mission in the world today. Warm us by the Spirit's dancing tongues of flame that we may feel your kindling blaze within us, urging us to do what you call us to do. Make us wholly present to experience new life, and awaken us to possibilities within us to share your love and abundance. We come to celebrate your harvest, a harvest bearing the first fruits of the Spirit within us. Show us how to use these gifts as we listen for your truth in the gentle breeze of your Spirit, which calls us both to praise and confession. Forgive us for the times when we miss and ignore the Spirit at work in our midst. Forgive us when our youth offer prophecy or challenge, but we only politely respond with clenched teeth or closed eyes. Forgive us when you invite us to dream dreams, but we prefer the familiarity of the past. When winds of vision swirl around us, forgive us the times we close the windows and bolt the doors. Lord, we give thanks and praise that even on us, even here and even now, your Spirit pours forth, breathing new life, new hope, and new possibility in Jesus' name. Amen. Dear friends in Christ, hear the good news. Those who are in Christ are a new creation. Everything old has passed away. Everything has become new. All of this is from God, with whom we have been reconciled through Jesus Christ our Lord. Thanks be to God. Pentecost celebrates the gifts of the Spirit poured out on the church, preparing Christ's followers to serve him. Our offering today builds up the ministry and mission of Christ's church here and everywhere in his name. Let us continue to worship God with the presentation of our gifts and our offerings. As we come to hear the word of God, let us pray. Come, Holy Spirit, as we turn to your word this morning, speak to us in ways that we can understand. Open our hearts, open our ears, open our minds to the words you have for us. Transform us, encourage us, and challenge us in the way we need it this day. In Jesus' name, amen. Our scripture reading this morning comes from Acts chapter 2.
Good morning. Acts 2, 1 to 21. When the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. Suddenly, a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from the heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. Now there were staying in Jerusalem God-fearing Jews from every nation under heaven. When they heard this sound, a crowd came together in bewilderment, because each one heard their own language being spoken. Utterly amazed, they asked, "Aren't all these who are speaking Galileans? Then how is it that each of us hears them in our native language?" Parthians, Medes, and Elamites, residents of Mesopotamia, Judea, and Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia, Egypt and parts of Libya near Cyrene, visitors from Rome, both Jews and converts to Judaism, Cretans and Arabs, we hear them declaring the wonders of God in our own tongues. Amazed and perplexed, they asked one another, "What does this mean?" Some, however, made fun of them and said, "They have had too much wine." Then Peter stood up with the 11, raised his voice, and addressed the crowd. "Fellow Jews and all you who live in Jerusalem, let me explain this to you. Listen carefully to what I say. These people are not drunk, as you suppose. It's only 9 in the morning. No, this is what was spoken by the prophet Joel. In the last days, God says, I will pour out my spirit on all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see visions. Your old men will dream dreams. Even on my servants, both men and women, I will pour out my spirit in those days, and they will prophesy. I will show wonders in the heavens above and signs on the earth below, blood and fire and billows of smoke. The sun will be turned to darkness and the moon to blood before the coming of the great and glorious day of the Lord. And everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved." The word of the Lord.
Earlier this week, I had the opportunity to give a couple of tours of the sanctuary to some of our preschool daycare visitors. And as with most 3- and 4-year-olds, they are a delightful little group who are always eager to chat, share their most recent artwork, or tell me what they ate for breakfast, and ask 1,000 questions. And these tours came about because one little boy wondered one day, "Where is the church anyway?" as he sat in the hallway outside the sanctuary. So we decided that a tour was in order. So on Wednesday morning, in two little groups, they filed into the sanctuary with a mix of excitement and awe as they finally got to see what was behind the otherwise closed door in the hallway, that room that they were not allowed to go in. They were intrigued by the little things that we so often take for granted. The softness of the velvet on the communion table, for example, the cross on the pulpit fall, the way their voices echoed in the big empty space, that the church was older than 50 completely blew their minds. The fact that it was older than 20 was actually quite impressive to them. When you think about it, these kids have barely been alive longer than the pandemic. One thing that particularly caught their attention was our burning bush. I showed them how we make it look like a window, and we talked about how it was put up there and with the light behind it. And while that was impressive, several of them wanted to spend more time talking about what they actually saw in the picture. "Why is there fire in that tree?" they wanted to know. And it was a fair question, because we had just finished talking about how fire alarm was one possible use of the old Sunday school bell, which I had pulled out of the archives for them to see. They should have put some water on that, another child observed. They were amazed when I explained that this was a very special fire that didn't burn up the tree and didn't endanger anyone. That it was a way that God came to speak to Moses. I wonder when was the last time any of us actually took time to think about how extraordinary the story of the burning bush really is. Do you remember the first time you heard it or saw a picture of it? God met Moses in such an unexpected way. I don't think we would think of it as such a normal, everyday picture if we hadn't heard the story so many times before. But for most of those kids, it was the first time hearing it. And they saw it with new eyes and heard it in a new way. How amazing is it the way God meets us? Do you remember what it was like to hear any story from Scripture for the first time? When the stories were new and fresh, when you had no preconceived understanding or rehearsed ending? When was the last time you were blown away by the stories of Jesus? There's no right or wrong answer to that question. But think about it. Think about the amazing, amazing truths that are only found in God's Word. Maybe we can pray that the Holy Spirit would help us to also be blown away by the magnitude of God's love. We tell the stories of our faith to ourselves, to each other, and to the world. That's what being a witness is all about, and that's what the Holy Spirit empowers the church to be. But we can't be what we haven't seen and what we haven't experienced. And since Jesus is ascended into heaven, we see and experience and know that God is at work in the sharing and in the acting out of our faith stories. Over and over and over again, we witness. We pass on our faith in the rehearsal of the stories of the coming kingdom of God. And it starts here at Pentecost with the arrival of the Holy Spirit and stories of faith told in every conceivable language in every possible way so that every single child of God can understand. Through the power of the Holy Spirit, we are invited to take our place as actors and witnesses in God's story of love, grace, and redemption. Never underestimate the power of a story to unite, ignite, and empower. Often when we talk about the Holy Spirit, we get caught up in the gifts of the Spirit and in the fruit of the Spirit and in the power of the Spirit, how the Spirit gives us gifts and talents, provides us with life's callings and vocations, how the Holy Spirit animates our worship, keeps faith alive, pours itself out at the baptismal font, and brings us together at Christ's table. And the Holy Spirit does all of those things and more. But when we look closely, the very first thing that we see the Spirit do in our reading today is bring people together and allow a common understanding of the same gospel. Invites the people to be participants together in the same story. Never underestimate the power of a story to unite and empower. From the very oldest to the very youngest, story is how we make sense of the world and our place in it. Story is where we rehearse, where we imagine, where we challenge our own identities in relationship with others and with God. It is where we come to know ourselves. Psychology tells us that when we are faced with a crisis or a decision, we inevitably and usually unknowingly ask ourselves one question. What does a person like me do in a situation like this? Seems pretty straightforward. What does a person like me do in a situation like this? And this is an important question because as we move through our daily lives and in and out of different situations, the person we understand ourselves to be shifts and changes based on the situation. So an example, this was a survey that was actually done. A doctor or nurse, a first responder of some kind, is on their way home from a long night shift. They pass an accident on the road. The road is deserted. No first responders on scene. They are on their way home to bed. And the question is, do they stop? And the answer overwhelmingly is that yes. In that situation, almost in all cases, they are a healthcare professional. They are a first responder. And therefore, in that type of situation, they respond with care. And that seems obvious, right? And many of us would stop also. But if you shift that situation a little bit, and I tell you that that individual is not on their way home from work, but is on their way from work to their child's high school graduation. Their appointments have run late, they're cutting it close for time. What do they do then? This one is a little bit trickier. There are a lot of layers and maybes. The survey says, though, they are not as likely to stop because in that moment they are responding as a parent and they are late for their child's graduation. They may stop briefly, they may flag down a motorist, they may call for help, but then they're leaving. They're not going to see care through. What does a person like me do in a situation like this? Stories tell us who we are. And so whether it is the story of who we are as a working professional, who we are as a parent, who we are as a volunteer, who we are as a church, the stories that shape us, form us, and challenge us, and everything leading out of it. The gospel story, the good news of God's amazing love and grace and redemption of creation roots us in and unites us in the core identity of God's beloved child. The Holy Spirit, alive and breathing within each of us, urges us to ask the question, what does a child of God do now? The church is called to witness. That is what we are called and empowered to do. As children of God, we are called to witness. And witnessing and storytelling is not just about the words that we say. It's not just a verbal proclamation of good news. The witness that the Spirit activates is to the very arrival of the kingdom of God for all humanity. We can't proclaim one thing and act out another. Imagine you go to a play and the script is sad and tragic, but the actors have decided to portray it dressed up as clowns and turn it into a comedy. Imagine the confusion of the audience. They're much less likely to be swept away, drawn into the story, when there is that much dissonance between what they see and what they hear. And this is where Pentecost comes in. From the confusion of a world hell-bent on being its own God, the Holy Spirit pours itself out, sharing a story of God's love, enabling that narrative, that truth, that witness of God's love poured out Jesus' life poured out on a world undeserving. And now we have the Holy Spirit empowering the church to share that story with the world. People from all over were gathered in Jerusalem, and suddenly they heard in their native tongues the story of God's deed and power. The crowd is shocked and amazed and bemused. They aren't entirely convinced that what they are, because what they are seeing and hearing is different than what they expected. So Peter gets up in front of the crowd and he starts to preach, not about the amazing thing that is happening in front of their eyes, but about what God has already done and promised. He speaks of David and Joel and Jesus, the Messiah. He tells them the story and they become part of it. They too become witnesses passing through the waters of baptism and into the fellowship of believers. The people were united like never before. They were united not for personal gain, but for God's glory. They were united so that their very lives, not only their words, might be witnesses to the power of the Holy Spirit. They were united in a way that only God can unite, calling and gifting each one to tell the stories of what God has done throughout history, what God has done in their lives, and what God is still doing today. As witnesses, we proclaim that God, on God's own terms of humility and grace, brought heaven down to us. God slipped down from heaven in the middle of the night and deposited a baby in a manger, God's one and only Son. In humility, not pride, the Son of God built his own reverse tower, the opposite of what the people tried to create at Babel, from heaven to earth, not so that we could spring up and make a name for ourselves or claim that seat closest to the throne, but so that he could come down to be with us and show us what God's love looks like, to show us what faithfulness looks like. If our central identity is child of God, if our identity as a church is body of Christ, then we need to see and hear and experience and rehearse what that means. We have to practice the story that we are part of. This is how our children and our children's children, believers of all ages and stages, will learn what it means. But more importantly, we'll learn what it looks like. Because you cannot be what you haven't seen. If the question in our decision-making is, what does a person like me do in a situation like this? We have to know who we are in order to have an answer. You can't be what you haven't seen. And because of this, and because Jesus is not physically here with us today, we, through the Spirit, focus our hearts and minds, our imaginations on what we do know, what we have heard, and what we have seen. We look at what God has done in order to recognize what God is still doing. We tell the stories of our faith. And that is how we become witnesses together, by allowing the Holy Spirit poured out at Pentecost and with us ever since. We let that Holy Spirit speak through the stories of our faith, not only in words, but in the living out of the kingdom, so that as we tell the stories of the kingdom of God, those who hear them see them lived out in front of their very eyes. As we claim our identity as God's children, as God's church, set free from the powers of sin and death, we focus our imagination on what God has done in order to recognize what God is doing. We set aside our own selfish ambitions and we turn away from those things that the world holds as important, and we look instead to the story that God has already written. We are called as witnesses, we are called as participants, we are not the authors of the story. It is a story about a creator who loves creation so much that he sent his one and only son to save it. A creator who will not rest until every part of creation has had the opportunity to hear and be brought into that very same story of love. Come, Holy Spirit. Amen. In addition to being Pentecost Sunday this year, Pentecost also falls on the day that General Assembly begins to meet. And so the General Assembly begins meeting this afternoon and will continue meeting throughout this week. And we hold them in our prayers as representatives from across the denomination, prayerfully discern God's will for the church. Let us pray. Wind of the Spirit, blow through us on this day of Pentecost and renew our faith. Reawaken our love for God and strengthen our fellowship after the challenges of the pandemic. Let your flames warm our hearts with trust in Jesus Christ, your Son, and hope for the future he will create. Dare us to do great things in his name. Enliven us and renew our faith. Wind of the Spirit, blow through us and renew our energy to serve you in Christ's church. Open our eyes to recognize needs for ministry and mission in changing times. Open our hearts to welcome newcomers and meet those we don't yet know. Open our hands to share in the tasks that need doing. Open our lips in prayer and praise. Enliven us and renew our energy. Holy Spirit, blow through us and give us new understanding for those whose lives seem so different from ours, and for those facing situations we've never encountered. Lord, fill us with your spirit of peace and compassion. Open us with curiosity to better understand, that we would come to know before we judge. Lord, we pray for those with whom we've disagreed, and for those whose own values challenge our expectations. Lord, draw us together in your spirit of unity. Help us to value the positions of the other. Help us to seek common understanding of your will. Lord, hear us as we pray for new understanding for problems and challenges that we face at work or at home, and for the complex issues we face in your world. When things seem overwhelming and out of control, Lord, let us hear your voice. Breathe life and hope, patience and courage into each of us. Lord, give us new understanding and openness to what you are doing. Holy Spirit, blow through us, blow through your church, blow through your world, and bring us healing and peace. Hear our prayers for those who face pain and illness, discouragement and disappointment, those who know sorrow, sadness, and grief, those who are worn down with the weight of stress and pressure and expectation. Lord, strengthen those who provide care and love to others. Hear our prayers for those who are sick in mind, body, and spirit, those who wait for answers, those who know that the answers are not the ones that they were looking for those whose treatments and procedures have been put on hold due to the pandemic and the backlogs that it has created, for parents struggling to provide for their children, for families who have grown distant. Lord, we pray for the healing and the peace that only you can bring. Enliven us and make us open to see where you are already at work. Holy Spirit, blow through us and bring us the wisdom and compassion that we see in Christ Jesus. Blow through us and equip us to serve the world you love in his name. Blow through the commissioners and the speakers at General Assembly this week and inspire the debates, the discussions, and the decisions that are made. Blow through your whole church, your whole creation, Holy One, and refresh us as your faithful people. In Jesus' name, amen. Go in peace to love and serve the Lord. Go and tell the story of what God has done, so that together we will recognize what God is still doing as we look forward with hope to all that has been promised. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us this day and forevermore. Amen. 403, She Comes Sailing on the Wind.